Jesus told us about all these things that were going to happen. And they're all happening. You know, when I look around the world today, I mean, when I look at these signs, and we're going to talk about some of these signs today and some of the next ones that's coming up, and you're not going to like it. I can tell you, you ain't going to like it. But Jesus said it, so it's going to happen. I ain't going to like it, but it's going to happen. Of course, I don't like wars and rumors of wars either. Do you? Has it been happening for a long time? Yeah, all my life. But right now, there's more of them going on than I've ever dreamed would happen at one time. Right, Tom? I mean, they're everywhere. We have wars going on everywhere. And I never dreamed that I would ever see in my lifetime, I never dreamed I would see a Muslim become president of the United States of America. But we got one, you know, and I never dreamed that I would live in the time when I would see all nations of the world turn their back on Israel. Just like the scripture says, God says, in the last days, I will bring all nations of the earth against my nation Israel, because she will not put me first. In other words, they're putting another God before him, and he ain't happy. So he's going to do some awesome things. And of course, because of Jack Van Impe stands on the word. I mean, I don't think I know a man anywhere in the world that even comes close to knowing as many scriptures as Jack Van Impe. I heard him say the other night, he only has 15,000 verses committed to memory. Only 15,000. So when I tell you, you know, that I'm going to lock the door today and until you can write down your favorite 100 scriptures, you can't go home. You reckon Jack would have a problem with that? Oh, no. He said, how about 1,000, Thurman? He said, well, surely everybody knows at least 1,000 verses if you're a Christian. Well, I got news for him. There's a lot of us don't know 100, do we? You know, so, and that's what's wrong with us. That's why we live a defeated life. Is because we do not know what the scripture says. And then when we do read it, we don't think God means what he really says. Just like that scripture when he says, have no other gods before me. You really think he means that, Kim?
Oh, absolutely.
So why don't we do that? That's a good question, isn't it? And so, you know, it makes us sick and does all kinds of things to us. When he says, do not hold unforgiveness toward anyone, forgive everybody from your heart. So why do so many Christians hold unforgiveness? I mean, that's got to be the biggest killer in the church for cancer. Almost everybody we see, almost everybody that has some form of cancer in their body, they have an unforgiveness towards someone. And that's, it seems to be the terrible disease, you know. But God told us to do a lot of things. I mean, did he tell us not to grumble and complain? So I don't know a single Christian that grumbles and complains. Do you? Oh, I should have said I don't know a single Christian that doesn't grumble and complain, including me. You know, I mean, I am not, if I'm not careful, I mean, just like yesterday, I was out mowing and I had got a big gasoline powered weed eater, you know, that's got two wheels on it, or where I can, you know, really cut some big stuff with it. And, of course, it seemed like I wouldn't get far in here at the wall. I'd have to replace those 155,000 lines. Those are big lines, but just like they wouldn't last. Of course, I'm cutting weeds bigger than my finger, you know, so I guess that's one reason, you know. So I thought, these crazy lines, these things ain't no good, you know. They ought to last longer than this. And somebody, do all things without grumbling and complaining. Well, why do I do this? I guess because I'm a human being, right? I know none of y'all do that, though, right? None of you grumble and complain at all? Well, I try not to. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm so grateful that I have the little weed eater. I'm so grateful I have the lion to go on, and even though it don't get but about here at the ball. If I didn't have that, I'd have to be out there with a hoe or something, and that would be a whole lot harder on me, I guess. And, of course, you know, when I got through, I guess I got tired of that, and I was going to get some lion, some bigger lion. I ran out. And Cheryl said, well, let's go, why don't we go eat? And I said, okay. And I said, we got some spaghetti in here. She said, no, I want to go have some tilapia. I said, oh my goodness, you want to go out to eat? She said, yes. I said, okay, get your stuff together and I'll take you out to eat. So, I mean, here I am dirty, been out weed eating everything. So we just go up to Mom's Cafe. I'm soaking wet with sweat. We get up to Mom's Cafe and walk in at 5:30 and there's one person in the whole cafe. One, and they're on the other side. First time I've ever been in there in my life that the place wasn't just had all kinds of people in it. So we had our dinner in perfect peace. You know, it was quiet. You know, I mean, my goodness, we got to eat in peace. And then we got through, we started to check out. And one of the girls said, "Are you on Christian television?" I said, "Oh, yeah, I'm on Christian television. 4 30-minute shows a week." And of course, everybody that was working there, men and women, were all standing right there because they didn't have nothing to do. And one of the boys said, "What do you teach?" I said, "I teach people how to walk in divine health." He said, "What?" I said, "You didn't even know that was available, did you, son?" "No." I said, "You know, don't feel bad. The church don't know that's available either." But I said, "You're looking at a man that learned this principle about 30 years ago." And I said, "I virtually have not had a sick day in 30 years. I said, I've been able to get up and go and do anything I want to do when I want to do it, anytime I want to do it, for 30 years. I said, I've not had any kind of medication. I don't take pills, have not had anything. And he said, "Well, how in the world do you teach people to do this?" I said, "I have a healing school next Saturday from 1 to 5. I said, "Come, and if you'll sit there for 4 hours, and I said, if you will do everything I tell you to do from God's word, I can guarantee you, you can walk the rest of your life with no sickness and no disease." See, people don't know that you can guarantee it. But Jan, the lady that owned the restaurant, she said, "But I will guarantee you, you'll have to do everything he tells you. There will be no deviations from what he tells you, because I know he's going to tell you to do exactly what God says. And you cannot deviate from God's word." And you know, that song we just read, there was 10 commandments there. And I guarantee, if you don't keep those 10 commandments, I guarantee you cannot walk in divine health. And the average man or woman, we come down to, like Dave said, we talk about adultery. How many men do you know that have never committed adultery in their life? There ain't one. I don't care who you are, there's not a man alive that hasn't committed adultery. Because Jesus, see, we think, "Well, I've never been to bed with any woman but the woman I'm married to." Okay, that's good. But that still doesn't mean you've never committed adultery. You know? So all of a sudden you say, I've never been to bed with a woman I'm not married to. I'm married to this one. She's the only one in 7 years that I've been to bed with, I slept with, so I've never committed adultery. And all of a sudden, a real good-looking woman with a low-cut blouse and all that stuff walks by, and you say, "I've never committed adultery." You're committing it right there. You're looking at that woman. Your eyes and your mind are thinking about things you shouldn't be thinking about, and you're guilty of adultery. Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust for her, you're guilty of adultery. Same as if you went to bed with her. So how many men do you know that's never committed adultery?
Zero.
That's right. I ain't never met one. There ain't no such critter. You may tell me you never have, and you may be to a point where you have mastered it now, but I'll tell you, in your younger years, you didn't have that mastered as a young man. I'm going to tell you what, you know, I mean, when I was 20 years old, I can remember if a really good-looking woman in a real skimpy bathing suit walked in, every boy in the place was, "Whoa." We looked, didn't we, Weston? I mean, that's just boys, right? Yep. That's what they're made out of. And they have never been trained, so they break the commandments of God. And so that's why they can't walk in divine health. As we're standing there, nobody in the restaurant, nobody. I said, "But I'm going to pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to start bringing people into this restaurant. Fill this place up in the name of Jesus." I said, "Thank you, Lord, for doing it." I said, "Guarantee they'll start coming in." And before we got to the door, there's about 8 or 10 people walked into the door. They were just coming in. Now, what can we do as sons and daughters of God when we pray? When you pray in faith, what happens? It happens. Whatever you pray for happens if you pray in faith. I mean, somebody asked me a question a while ago, and I've had this question asked. I've had preachers tell me I'm completely crazy on this one. But I want to take you to a scripture because I want you to see this. I want to take you to John 20:23. And I want you to see this. Now, this is probably the Pharisees and Sadducees had the biggest problem with Jesus here of any other thing that he did. Who does he think he is? God? Well, that's who he was, wasn't it, Keith? Who does he think he is? Because look at this scripture. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. You know, I mean, most people, most Christians, first of all, let me ask you a question. Who, if I ask you, who are you, what do you tell me? You should say, I am a son or a daughter of God. I'm a joint heir with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I have died to myself, and the King lives in me. So what you see right there is not me, but it's Jesus. Amen. I am his body on this earth. Now, when you see yourself like that, that scripture will work for you. Until you see yourself like that, that scripture will not work for you. Because we fail to realize in these last days, we are really the body of Jesus Christ walking around on this earth. We're not a Thurman Scrivener or a Keith. We are the body of Christ. And until you see yourself as a son or a daughter of God, you can't speak these things, but Jesus knew who he was. He knew, yes, he was a man, just like you and me. He was a man, but he was also God. Well, Jesus went so far to say, if you know me, then me and the Father come and take up our dwelling place within you. So where is God the Father and the Holy Spirit and Jesus living right now, Keith?
In me.
In you. You know, if we got the revelation that he's in us, and we forget so easy. I mean, to tell you, we forget. I do.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, When You Believe, It Is Done, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.